Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Danielle Hoffman, who is the author of The Council of Light, Divine Transmissions for Manifesting the Deepest Desires of the Soul. Danielle is an ancient wisdom keeper, a leader into the shift into unity consciousness. She's also the author of The Temples of Light and the creator of Divine Birthright Activation. And she leads tours to Egypt as well as hosts retreats in southern France. And today she's calling in from France. Welcome, Danielle. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So the book, The Council of Light, outlines different rays of light that can be used for activation and for, other specific purposes that you outline in the book. Would you like to tell the audience how you became familiar with the rays and the Council of Light?
Yes. Well, it was through my direct connection with Thoth, the Egyptian god of infinite knowledge, that I was introduced to the Council of Light in 2003 or 2004, and that my awareness of them was that they were a group of thousands of light beings, intergalactic light beings, whose purpose was to enhance the vibration of joy and therefore our health, wealth, and happiness. And really, once that introduction was made, I got to know them through my personal meditation time, and then also by offering a monthly group in Seattle with the Council of Light on different subjects. And so it was a combination of that, those personal meditations, and also the group transmissions that brought forth these rays of light teachings. And the beginning of the book really outlines the 10, 11 rays of light. And the second half speaks about more discussions with the Council of Light on subjects like health and wealth and happiness. So that's kind of in a snapshot how I got connected and how this body of work came through.
So why do you think the Council of Light is interacting with groups on Earth at this time? Can you give the audience a little bit of information about what is happening?
Well, my sense is that there really is this agreement that some of us have on Earth to really be a part of a larger shift in consciousness that, from my perspective, expands and includes Earth, but also beyond Earth, and that the Council of Light really is here in response to our asking, in response to our calling to really provide that information and consciousness that I think we've left for ourselves to find. So sometimes I like to think of it as a beautiful treasure hunt that we're on, and sometimes that process is from really forgetting that which we know to remembering that which we know. And also, because of the shift in consciousness from what we could think of as separation consciousness or survival consciousness or this old paradigm into unity consciousness, the vibration of oneness, of love, of collaboration, that the old forms and the old structures are no longer working. And so that these light technologies or spiritual energies or using energy really is more in alignment with where we're going. So the Council of Light talks about it in the book in terms of how their timing of being here is on purpose. And it's a little bit like those who were born without the telephone, that if we were to tell them about the telephone, it might seem so extraordinary that they wouldn't be able to experience it. And then when they've lived with the telephone, now it's just automatic. They just pick it up. So that we're in this kind of an overlap time, and the Council of Light's here to provide those energies that are most conducive to where we are and where we're headed.
There's another factor that I want to get your opinion on. It could be that as we move into the effect of what is coming in from the galactic center, that we create more rapidly than we did, say, you know, 1,000 years ago. And so it's important to take the teachings of the Council of Light and other teachings from other galactic sources and really understand that what we focus on right now is created much more rapidly than it was in the past. So it may be that this information is coming in now so we don't self-destruct using the old, you know, the old ways of thinking.
Well, I agree that there is an acceleration, and also that these technologies of light from a galactic perspective are really moving quickly, and that manifestation is a process that is more efficient. And, you know, probably these tools, even though I'm sure they would have been viable 2,000 years ago and people were using things similar, most likely, I think they're just more efficient. You know, I was trained in Reiki. I became a Reiki master in 1996. And, you know, I was often fascinated with the history of Reiki, that it was really not that many people were doing it. And then in the 80s, it just exploded and it was everywhere and everyone was a Reiki master. And, you know, and that energy was really pertinent for that time. And then, you know, there's other energies that are more pertinent for the time. So I think that's also a similar experience with the Council of Light and the galactic teachings.
So there are some, before we get into the different kinds of light, which we need to talk about the different rays and what they do, but I want to talk a little bit about this idea that what you think about and what you concentrate on is what proliferates, what increases in your life, and that there may not be such a thing as scarcity unless we are actually creating it. I mean, you know, we've created the idea of scarcity on the planet, the idea that there's all sorts of limitations in our lives, but in actuality, several times the Council of Light has kind of come in and said that's just not true. Would you like to comment on that? What that idea might not be, which many people who are probably listening today believe is true. Why is the idea of scarcity not true?
Well, the Council of Light shares that there's more to be garnered from being in a state of unity consciousness, of abundance, of wholeness, than there is to be gained from remaining in another repetitive pattern of lack or struggle or survival. And, you know, I've really thought about that's such a powerful statement and something to live into, to grow into, and that the invitation there really is to acknowledge that we are masters of our repetitive patterns of the illusion or the experience of lack, and that sometimes just by owning it and saying that we are a master of those repetitive patterns and repeating them again isn't going to give us anything new. And yet, living from the vibration of joy, living from the vibration of abundance, really will provide an experience that is expanded and is unique. And so to answer your question more specifically, you know, one of the things that I also think is so beautiful about the message that the Council of Light brings in is that it is one of inclusion. And so lack and separation and survival and that idea is included into the wholeness, and that there's lots of tools to allow us to really see the wholeness that resides in each moment, that even in that moment of experiencing lack, the abundance is present, that the duality, the polarity of separation consciousness, it can't be outside of wholeness. And so to invite and include back in the oneness, back in the wholeness, everything, and knowing that everything has had a purpose. So, yeah, it is a really fascinating conversation and experience, especially as people, I think, move into higher vibrations, the lower vibration comes up to be included into the wholeness, into the oneness, like a pond that turns over, that the muck on the bottom of the pond comes to the surface when it's in that process of renewal. So for some people, I think they're experiencing an even more challenging time, and yet to be able to reframe that as a part of the process, Thoth likes to call it a hologram of evolution, that even within that lack there resides the evolution of unity, can just be a gentle way for people to readjust the compass, so to speak.
It seems too that scarcity thinking doesn't allow for things outside the box or outside the what is usual. You know, the scarcity thinking that your finances are just your paycheck, and then all, you know, your paycheck's remaining the same, but yet all prices are going up, and so with that idea you're going to have less and less and less. And you hear that, you know, you hear that in the mainstream media, you hear it on you know, just it, in terms of people talking, because we've, you know, we've been in an economic, where it's not growing as much as it should for 5 years now or 6 years. So I think the scarcity thinking is not allowing for things outside, you know, outside of your everyday knowledge, whereas in actuality creation can take things from all sorts of places, you know, anything from inheritances to you know, money's coming in through ways that you never even thought were possible. So that, you know, that's something that that people need to realize, is that when you open yourself up to abundance, you don't put any restrictions on where it might come from. You know, you don't box it in. If you do, it is more of a problem for it to manifest.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said too, that scarcity consciousness doesn't really allow for out of the box. And the Council of Light talks about that one of the greatest ways of ease to be in this shift in consciousness is for us to be who we are full out. And one of the rays of light, the emerald ray, is the U ray. It really helps amplify our signature energy, our unique essence, and that enhances the capacity for manifestation, for actualization, if we're really shining brightly. And yet the old paradigm, the tribal consciousness, and a lot of our conditioning tells us to not stand out, to fit in, to go along with what it is that most people are thinking. And, you know, I know a big part of my purpose right now is to really support those who are innovators, who are pioneers, who are on that leading edge of consciousness, to have the courage to move forward and to share what it is that they have access to, that will create so much more that's possible. I was also reminded of an exercise in the book when you were talking about wealth and really thinking of it in terms of multidimensional wealth, that our wealth is our finances, and yet it also is our joy, our relationships, our career, our connection to source, to ourselves, and for people to really also just get out of that kind of micro thinking, to then look around and see, well, what other wealth exists, and that helps loosen up the possibility of more of that multidimensional wealth to be present in our lives. So I think it's an exciting time, really, lots to explore.
Yeah, I prefer to, when I think of abundance, I don't think about abundant money what I think is whatever it is that I need comes to me in an easy fashion without a lot of trouble or you know, strife to get it. And, you know, really, we don't need money. Money by itself is not that useful, especially if it can't buy you what you need. I mean, all the money in the world isn't going to buy your health, for example, if you have bad health. You know, it's just not. You have to do all sorts of other things to change your health. And if you need food and shelter and, you know, other things, those things can come to you with abundance without necessarily having you exchange money for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've noticed in my life. If I need something, it comes to me, and often free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it really also opens up the possibilities. And for, you know, a question I often get in terms of manifestation is, you know, is it better to focus on something specific, like I need $3,000 for whatever it is, or to focus on, you know, something more general that all my needs are met? And, you know, I think it really depends on what feels lighter to people when they're connecting to it. But you're right that if someone really needs a new garage or a car or whatever it is, that they don't really need the money. They need whatever it is that they're choosing to manifest or to actualize or to create. So sometimes just focusing on that can really open it up to showing up in a variety of ways.
Yeah, well, that's the way I think about abundance. I think it's more the stream of flow of things coming into your life and things leaving your life. The things leaving your life are things you don't need anymore, and the things coming in are the things that you do need. And that I noticed a long time ago that the more I don't try to micromanage things, the better that flow of energy is. And it does include money. My managers, I run a pretty big business with about 40 employees and, a cash flow of between $250,000 and $350,000 a month. And if you don't think about it too hard, it does really well. But if you start worrying about difference in payment, sometimes Medicare holds up payment, or another insurance company will start holding up payment, or the patients might not be able to make their co-pays because of economic crisis or whatever. You just have to forget all of that and just concentrate on the big picture. And my managers tell me that money comes in when it needs to come in. You know, it just comes in from unexpected sources. So that's the flow of abundance. You know, it is just timed in a way that I don't even know. Because I don't even know what the things are that are going to hold up the cash flow coming in. You know, we're not aware of all of the things that are out there. And I'm certainly not aware of all of the things that get money in here when we need it. But it seems to take care of itself, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also said something very interesting when you first spoke about the way that you are with abundance and with wealth, is that you're choosing for it to come with ease, and that's something that has a certain vibration to it. And this conversation is reminding me of an analogy the Council of Light has in the book, is that sometimes when we want something, it's like having a beach ball and being in the pool, and then as we're going towards it with this energy of striving, that it just creates this wave that actually pushes the beach balls away from us, rather than just being in that state of knowing that it's already there, that we're in the pool, the beach ball is there, and just moving into the same energy, vibration, and location of that flow.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you want to talk about some of the rays that you talk about in the book and what they mean and how we can interact with them?
Sure. So the ray that comes to me just based on what we've been speaking about is the Venus ray. And the Venus ray is the ray of opulent bliss. And that is a beautiful ray to call upon in the energy of opulence, of abundance, of really being in that state of bliss and of joy. And another ray of light is the solar ray, which is the now ray. And that calling upon the solar ray really can support us in being present in the now. And by combining the solar ray and the Venus ray together, because I think about it that way too, that it's that we're artists of energy, and that it may be that we want to paint with blue, or that we want to paint with red, or that we want to have that purple that comes together. And that by bringing the solar ray and the Venus ray together, what can really open up for people is the awareness that by being here in the now, the sense and the awareness of abundance can be expansive. Because sometimes I think what happens for people is they think, well, they need to have enough money or whatever it is, enough energy for the rest of their lives. And yet it's not possible for us to eat all the food that we're going to eat over the next 5 years. If we had it on a table right now, it would rot. So by being in the presence of the solar ray and the Venus ray together, for example, it can help create the awareness that the abundance in the now is available, that we have enough energy for now, we have enough money for now, we have enough oxygen for now, that combination can be a potent and powerful one. And there are 11 rays of light. The first one is light, and for people that are just getting familiar with the rays of light, that's one I like to recommend, because it's like universal life force energy in the Reiki system, that light, the ray of light, just includes everything, all the rays of light in there. So that can be one that somebody can call upon or even extend or share with somebody else if they want to offer a supportive energy. And then the person can just take what they need from it as they're working with the ray of light. So that's three of them. And I did mention the emerald ray as well, the U ray. And there's also the joy ray, which really is the portal to greater health, wealth, and happiness, and one of the main purposes of the Council of Light, to enhance that vibration of joy.
So in your book, you have a number of exercises and other meditations that show how to use it, not just for yourself, but for others and for specific purposes. Would you like to give your contact information at this time? We'll give it now and at the end of the show. So if people want to take a look at your website, they can do that.
Sure. So my website is divinetransmissions.com. That's D-I-V-I-N-E. TransMissions.com, divinetransmissions.com, or DanielleHoffman.com also. And yeah, there's lots of wonderful resources on the site.
So let's see. One of the things that you offer is the Divine Birthright Activation Program.
Mm-hmm,
are you doing
mm-hmm.
that now?
Yes, and that is what I'm really in the process of launching is FOSS Magic Academy that begins on March 20th, and it's a year and a day video program to help people be who they are, full out, anchored in unity consciousness. And so I'm I'm really excited about that. And I do offer the Divine Birthright Activation programs, and those are offered privately to one individual and only in person. But there's a free 5-day Divine Birthright Activation video that people can access on the website as well.
Okay. And the information about Thos Magic Academy is on the website then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right. And I see you have a Temples of Light Multisensory Mystery School set.
Yeah, so my first book was the Temples of Light, and it's a journey through the temples in Egypt. And it also has a 6-CD set of the 20 initiations in the book, and then also essences that people can take while they're going through the materials. So it becomes this multi-sensory mystery school set that's really a fun way for people to connect to the energies of Egypt and to journey from the comfort of their own home. You know, I also have a monthly group session with the Council of Light and Thoth called Joy Pods, and that's a wonderful way for people that are just getting to know me and the Council of Light to have a direct experience with them.
And are you currently on a tour of France, or are you just over in France?
Yeah, I'm just in France, enjoying the vibration of joy and the opulent bliss. The cherry blossoms are getting ready to start blooming. I'm excited for that. I always think about opulent bliss when I start seeing how many cherries a tree produces.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any tours to Egypt or France on the website that are coming up?
I don't have any that are on the website that are coming up. I am offering a few spaces for private retreats in France this fall. So if people are interested, they can be in touch about those, and just have the virtual tours to Egypt at this time. No physical tours, but if people want to go, I have some friends that are leading tours this year that I can recommend as well.
Great. Well, you've been in in communication with the Council of Light for some time now. Would you like to mention some of the things that have come through that were particularly interesting or illuminating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to. You know, it really just always feels like there's this multidimensional experience that comes through, and that you were speaking about the exercises in the book, and some of the ones in the beginning really are an invitation for people to create a direct relationship with the Council of Light if they choose, and their Council of Light. And so when I first started working with the Council of Light, I found that so fascinating, that there was a band of consciousness or a group that I was tapping into, and yet that we each have our own unique Council of Light, if we choose, that's really in resonance to our vibration and our signature. And that makes sense to me. I've seen it in my own life that I'll be more connected to the Council of Light when what it is that they have to share is really pertinent, or to Thoth when that vibration is really potent. So one of the main messages that I love that I already said was really that this is a time for us to be who it is that we are full out, and that process of dematerializing or disintegrating that which isn't uniquely us is a process. And you know, the subtitle of the book is the divine transmissions for manifesting the deepest desires of the soul. And I know from my own journey that some of the things at different times that I wanted to manifest, I realized weren't even really what I wanted to manifest. They were more what I thought I should want to manifest, or more a part of the collective consciousness. So I love just the way that the council interacts with us, and that there's, even in the exercises, a lot of opening and openness for each of us to know what's best for us, to have our own experience, and to create it that way, that we're connecting eye to eye, peer to peer, divine to divine. And, you know, I think for me, that's the underlying message of the Council of Light, and the work that comes through me too, is that we are multidimensional beings, and that this time is a process, if we choose, that we can access more of those dimensions and more of our innate capacities as divine creator beings.
So one of the things that you talk about later in the book is the guidance aspect of this. Would you like to let our listeners know what the Council of Light recommends about spiritual guidance and how to access that guidance?
Yes, that's one of my favorite topics, since I really live a guidance-based life and have just enjoyed watching other people who create their lives as well. And so the Council of Light really does provide a lot of exercises and opportunities to create a direct connection to the Council of Light, and also to our own inner guidance, and that we each have our most natural way of receiving that guidance, and that it's a process of understanding the dictionary or the language of our guidance that already exists. And so, you know, I think about it in terms as well of how is it that each person learns? Are we visual? Are we auditory? Are we more physical? And that may overlap with the way that we each really receive our guidance, that it may be visual, it may be auditory, it may be more physical. And yet, to just, for each person, to begin to pay attention to how is it that they've already been getting guidance, and then just to amplify that even more. And, you know, one of my favorite chapters in the book is one on positioning, and the idea that really everything that's been unfolding in our lives is on purpose, and that we're positioned to be in the perfect people, places, and times in each moment, and that's also true with our guidance, that we're really positioned to access the guidance that we have, that we are aware and awake beings. And, you know, from working with a lot of people who are highly empathic and highly sensitive, you know, sometimes there's a choice to turn off that inner guidance. And so one of the rays of light the council provides for that is the peace ray, that the peace ray really helps people to be in their own vibration, to not feel what others are feeling so strongly, and then to turn back on that awareness step by step. And yeah, that divine guidance, you know, a lot of times people think that there's something you know unique or special about me being a divine transmitter, and yet for me, I believe that we all have that capacity, and we're all doing it and all the time. It's just I've spent time developing that skill set, and yet we all have it. So that's some of what the Council of Light shares about guidance.
So what about the idea that many of us have belief systems that are putting up blockages to our, you know, abundance, to happiness, to joy, and how we may need to drop certain belief systems that, like the belief that we're not worthy, would definitely be something that would block abundance. Beliefs in the mental body do block things from coming in. So what do they have to say about that?
Yeah, and that's really one of the main purposes of those Magic Academy as well, is to just help people dismantle those beliefs that it's like Michelangelo, you know, just carving away everything that's not David, and then David being left. That I think is the process that we're in, that we're just carving away everything that's not uniquely who we are. And so that can be a process. And yet there's also this idea of, rather than trying to get rid of it, which I think is something that maybe people have tried over the years, or a way that has worked in a different time in healing modalities, is to try to release it or try to get rid of it, to really include those belief systems, to welcome them into the wholeness, to bring them back into source energy, to understand that even those parts that we don't prefer really also provide rocket fuel for our launching into unity consciousness. And one of the things the Council of Light really talks about is that a lot of those things that you mentioned, or one that I see often, is that people, they feel afraid that if they really share who it is that they are, that they'll lose love, or that they'll be all alone, they'll be kicked out of the tribe, or that they'll even be persecuted or killed. That sense of safe, unsafe, worthy, unworthy, from the perspective of the Council of Light, doesn't even exist. It's kind of what you were bringing forward earlier, that the lack from the perspective of the Council of Light doesn't even exist, because the vibration in unity consciousness is one of wholeness. And so there does come that time where more and more units of consciousness are tapped into who we are as divine beings, as multi-dimensional beings. And then from that vantage point, there's the awareness that we're eternal, that nothing can be added to us, taken away from us, that worthy or unworthy really doesn't exist, that a tree in the forest just grows as tall as it's going to be. It doesn't feel like it's worthy or less worthy than the other trees that are around. So that is a part of the process, and one in which I think it makes it really an interesting time to reconcile those seeming places of opposition, polarity, duality, into oneness, into wholeness.
Now, in the beginning of the book, you have an exercise for how to incorporate two sides of a polarity into more unity consciousness. Would you like to tell the listeners about that exercise?
Yeah, so in one of the first meditations with the Council of Light, they provide this three-part exercise. And one is when there's an experience of duality, and to really flip back and forth between, for example, if somebody has a cold, to flip back and forth, or they some kind of lack of health or an experience of disease, between healthy and unhealthy, healthy and unhealthy, healthy and unhealthy, wealthy and unwealthy, wealthy, unwealthy, wealthy, unwealthy. And it's a little bit like flipping a coin, that there's head, tail, head, tail, head, tail, head, tail. And the more that we go back and forth, it's mixing them together. It's taking the blue and the red and making them purple, until the coin begins to spin, and then it becomes this hologram, this multidimensional experience. And, you know, I have a lot of clients and people who've read the book that go to that exercise on a regular basis, because it takes the attention to the rest of the body. You know, when we have a cold or we're not feeling well, that really 99% of the body is working well, but that one part that doesn't feel good is just screaming really loud to get our attention. So this process just helps us to be able to see what else is existing in that moment. And the Council of Light talks a lot about that with the divine ray. And the divine ray allows us to have these glasses that we can see the good that exists in our lives already. So it's a process of really changing our perspective. Yeah, so that's a great exercise that people can really apply to any area of their life, flipping back and forth.
So there are some other exercises for health. Would you give just a couple of those that, and maybe talk a little bit about the pituitary and how that relates to health?
Yeah, the health chapter was something that my publisher asked for more information about. And so that was something that came in more recently. And I just remember when the information came in that I was just so blown away by the idea that even when we die, it's one of the things the council says, that health still exists and that health resides in a sense. It is in that state of wholeness, even when we're having the experiences of a lack of health. So also the redefinition of health, that a lot of times we think about the definition of health being anchored in disease, and to really see that health as units of consciousness. So there is a meditation in the health chapter that really brings together a few of the rays of light, and bringing in the rays of light also like a waterfall from above in the pituitary gland, and allowing that nectar of the divine to overflow from the pituitary gland, from the pineal gland, and then also to communicate to the trillions of cells in our body that there is that enhanced state of wealth. So, that is also where it comes into noticing what is the exact conglomeration of what's going on for somebody. And so if somebody's not sure, again, which ray of light to call upon the ray of light of light can really be beneficial.
Okay. We're coming up at the end of the hour here in a few minutes, not quite yet, but I wanted to give you another opportunity to give your contact information, if you would, please.
Yeah, so my website is divinetransmissions.com or daniellehoffman.com. And people can find the book if they're interested, the Council of Light, on Amazon, or there's a link on my site as well, or Barnes & Noble, lots of the bookstores. And I'm getting ready to launch A Year and a Day Magic Academy with Thoth, starting spring equinox, which is a year and a day of videos, 366 divine transmissions. And so I'm really excited about that and looking forward to that.
Would you like to tell our audience a little bit more about Thoth, who he is, and what relationship he has to the mystery schools?
Yeah, I would love to. In the Egyptian pantheon, he's the god of infinite knowledge, the keeper of the Akashic records, the scribe, the architect, the healer. So, there's that term is ascended master, and that there is ascended mastery in a variety of subjects. He's also associated with the blue heron or the ibis, and Mercury or Hermes, and for me, I was reintroduced to I learned his name Thoth when he says that it's Toth, and I know a lot of people call him Thoth or Jehudi Tehudi. Really, in the early 2000s, and for me, have really just had a direct connection with him, and after creating that connection, have brought in bodies of work direct from source. And so I also think of him really as the teacher's teacher, and really this beautiful, loving energy friend. And, you know, you were speaking about belief systems, and I know that everyone has their own belief system. And to me, you know, that we have this inner Thoth inside of us, this infinite knowledge, this divine archetype that we can access more and more by choosing to.
Didn't Thoth also develop language? Wasn't that attributed to him?
Yes, language, the Akashic records, right. Hieroglyphs, and like you're saying, the mystery schools, the Emerald Tablets. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of what's happening is that ancient wisdom being remembered at this time.
The one of the things in the book from the Emerald Tablets is the as above, so below, which is a really wonderful idea that the heavens or the higher dimensions have a pattern that is reflected clear down to the dimension we're in.
Mm-hmm. As above, so below, as within, so without. And I love that too from my work with the Egyptian temples, that the, you know, the physical temples were thought to be a reflection of the cosmos. And so there really is that heaven on earth that we can see as well in the temples of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're coming up at the end of the hour here. Would you like to give any last thoughts or things that you want the listeners to remember about the interview and about the book?
Yes, really just extending the invitation to for each person, if they choose to be who they are full out, and that is a process that will create greater ease, as well as being in the vibration of joy. You know, I've asked the Council of Light a lot, out of all the purposes that they could have, why is enhancing the vibration of joy the main purpose that they have? And that really, when we're in that vibration of joy, we're naturally accessing more of who it is that we are. And that this book is available, and that the teachings in it have greatly enhanced my life and those that have been called to it. So I would just invite people, if they're feeling called, to find out more.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate you calling in from France. That's a long way. Anyway, thanks so much. We've been interviewing Danielle Hoffman on her book, The Council of Light, Divine Transmissions for Manifesting the Deepest Desires of Your Soul. Book's packed with all sorts of great exercises and information that will help you through the process we're in right now, which is having light coming in from the galactic center and transforming the planet heaven, Earth to heaven. I think that's what's happening. Thanks a lot, Danielle. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you for having me.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week. We'll be interviewing Eva Hare, Consciousness, Bridging the Gap Between Conventional Science and the New Super Science of Quantum Mechanics. And then the next week, Don Serow, When the Dragon Wore the Crown, on astrology. And then Larry Dossey will be interviewed on his book, One Mind, How Our Individual Mind is Part of a Greater Consciousness and Why It Matters. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb.